You know, brethren, as we learn how to rule, and that's what we're preparing for, as we know, here at this festival. At the resurrection, the real work will really begin. The real work. Maybe we're having trouble working on ourselves so we can get there. But the real work will begin once we are changed to spirit beings and we become a part of the God family. As spirit beings, we will have talents and abilities to rule and reign as kings and priests. Right now, we don't have all that ability, do we? We're going to participate in restoring the earth, resettling the people, and rebuilding after tremendous devastation. The world's going to be turned upside down. Shattered buildings, all kinds of bodies everywhere. Devastation, horror, destroyed cities, and people suffering. Much suffering. The title, if you want one, Rebuilding in the Kingdom of God. We're going to look at some outstanding scriptures, brethren. Nothing new and exciting from me. I don't have anything new and exciting. We have the Word of God. That's exciting and powerful. It's going to show us what we're going to do, what God's going to do, what lies ahead for mankind. We will come with Christ and the true government of God to help. We will have to teach. We'll be giving guidance. We're going to lead people to the way of God. It will be a huge undertaking, something vast and beyond our understanding at this point. That many people, that much to do? Clearing up all the devastation, rebuilding, restoring. Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. God needs people to do it, to help him do it. And that's going to be our job. It's interesting. God always starts small, doesn't he? Look at how we charted this era of the church. The Philadelphia era, especially with Mr. Armstrong back in the early days. Just one man and his wife. Slowly, 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 slowly it built momentum as God granted him understanding and the ability to understand where we're going, what the scriptures mean, as he showed that he was worthy of that understanding and power that God gave him. Grew into a tremendous organization and church. 120,000 around the world, as Mr. Henderson talked about last night. And it just shows you how quickly things can change. Look what's happened to it all. Just a few remaining faithful. Just a few remaining and learning and want to be a part of the future. That's why we're here. I want to be a part of it. I want to be excited by it. I want to be turned on by it, spiritually speaking, and make myself ready. Like we all do. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Once I get there. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there won't be any end. No end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to order it, with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Notice that mentions it a couple of times, forever and ever. No end to it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to start small, and then it will grow and grow and grow and overtake the entire world. Interesting word in here. Zeal. What kind of zeal do we have? As we live our lives, wanting to move forward, to become a part of the God family. Are we zealous and turned on by it, excited by it, seeking power continually from Almighty God for the strength? Yeah, we've got to have zeal. We've got to be zealous about it. I'm not suggesting we're not. I'm just saying we've got to constantly be aware and correct our course as we live this life. Because human beings can fall off course so quickly, as we've seen. We're all subject to it. Psalm 122. Just a quick scripture to look at here. 122, Psalm. And notice verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. I think that will be an outstanding, incredible thing. What will it be like when we go up to the house of the Lord, when the tabernacle is set up in Jerusalem? What's it going to be like? We want to go up there. I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. Verse 2, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. From here will begin, brethren, the greatest regathering and rebuilding project ever undertaken in the history of mankind. There'll be nothing to compare it to because of the total devastation, because of what's going to take place. We're going to read about some of that as we go along here. Everything will have been destroyed. Everything. It's hard to imagine when you think about people in the hurricane-ravaged areas of the United States and in the islands in the Caribbean. Well, everything's been taken away from them. House, gone. Possessions, gone. Bank account, gone. Job, gone. Lives, in some cases, gone. Future, dim. You imagine that, if you lost everything. We've all come close to losing a lot of things in life. Our lives, our livelihood, but never everything. It's going to take great faith of those that understand that we have a Lord and Savior and there's a great God to fall on their knees before Him and say, help me to restore, help me to move forward and move on. That's heavy duty stuff. Yet millions are going to lose everything in the days that will come. But Satan will have been put away. And peace will prevail. Thank the living God for that. Finally, we have peace. Jeremiah chapter 30. There's not much peace right now, is there, brethren? They talk about it, but it hasn't happened yet. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. When we come back to the earth, we are going to have to yield to God, or they're not going to live. If they don't yield to God when He comes back, they won't live. There's going to be no rebels like Mr. Henderson mentioned the other day. No dissension. We're going to show you the right way. We're going to teach you the right way. We're going to teach you to know God and to follow what's right. You don't want to do it? It better be on your head. We'll give them a chance. This is serious business. Serious business. Verse 24. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until He has done it, and until He has performed the intents of His heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. Someday, people are going to stop and think. Like it was mentioned, all the people that used to be a part of the Worldwide Church of God are going to wake up some morning and say, wait a minute. Woo. That man we thought was crazy. That man we thought was old. That man that we marginalized. That man that we minimized. He was right. It's all happening. What do we do now? That's what's going to happen. That's going to send a chill of horror down the spines of many people. We don't wish that to happen. We would wish that they would turn around and listen and obey the living God. Seek out and find those who follow what God taught through Mr. Armstrong. Some have. Undoubtedly a few more will. We sure hope so. Verse 24 here is basic an introduction to chapter 31. There is a purpose for us, brethren. Do you ever think sometimes when you're lying in bed, what's the purpose of my life? What good am I? What value am I? What can I bring? What can I offer? Brethren, be assured, please, there is a purpose for you. Your life has value. Your life has meaning. To those that know and love you, and to Almighty God who really knows and loves you. There's a purpose for Israel. There's a purpose for Judah and for all the people of the world. Because with God, everyone has a purpose. Everyone. It's hard to imagine that right now, isn't there? Is there a purpose for this guy in North Korea? You know? Well, you know, there is ultimately a purpose for him. And someday he'll realize his saber rattling is not the way to do it. It's going to be fantastic. I think about this, our job and the possibilities that God lays before us, and incredible responsibility, and the great joy of what is to come, that we can only get a taste of, just a glimpse of. But it encourages us to move forward. I want to grab hold of it. I want to be a part of it. As nothing that I am, as a person, as a miserable human being, I know there's a future. I know that God has a purpose for me and for my life and for what we've experienced, and what we've been through. All for a reason. We've all had many things happen to us and occur over the years. I've got a long story. I'm not going to tell you, but you know some of us. Some of you do. Lots of things have occurred that will help us to grow, help us to change, help us to be useful in the world tomorrow. That's what we're living this life for, learning now, growing now, preparing ourselves for what's to come. Jeremiah 31 and verse 1. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, verse 2, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest. There's going to be rest down the road at some point. They're going to be in captivity in many cases, not have been, but be in captivity, in desperate shape. We've all seen pictures of the death camps that were held during the war by the Nazis and also by the Japanese. Horrific stuff. It's hard to imagine that's going to happen on a grand, massive scale. It's going to be much worse than what we've seen with World War II. Much worse. That in itself is hard to believe, isn't it? Verse 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. A great throng. Many people, not just a few. Verse 9. They shall come with weeping, crying, desperate, with supplications. I will lead them. There's that strength and that purpose. I'm going to lead them. And you're going to help lead them as well, brethren. That's going to be our job. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Wow. God punishes, yes, but he delivers as well. And that's what we're going to be seeing here. He'll gather them, and we're going to be involved in it. That's the point I want to make. We're going to be involved in it. It's not us sitting back in the stands. Yay, go Jesus, go God. No, we're going to be right there in the middle of it. Right in the middle. That's an incredible picture. And it shows you also, to me it does, the incredible responsibility that we have to be ready for it. To make ourselves ready as best we can. And God will provide what's missing as we develop and as we grow, and especially as we're born into his family. Can you imagine that in your mind? I hope so. Because it's going to happen. It's not fantasy. It's not speculation. Why do we keep repeating over and over and over? You've heard me say it forever, I'm sure. Those of you that have listened to me speak over the years. Get yourselves ready for the greatest work ever. A giant task lies ahead. Giant task lies ahead. We cannot treat it casually. I'm not suggesting that you are. I'm just saying that the tendency of human beings is to slack off. And that can happen. But we're here at this feast to be energized and be focused, to strive harder because the vision's there before us. I think this is probably the only time of year in many respects that we really look into some of these prophecies in detail and go through them. Because it's so incredibly important to be focused, to have our hearts and minds right. We can't treat it casually. We can't take it for granted. We can't just say, I'm going to be there, no big deal. When's he going to stop speaking? You don't know that any more than I do. Jeremiah 31, here at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in it the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Don't those words, brethren, just jump out at you? They do me. You know, we've been called by Almighty God, the ruler of the universe, who's seen down through space and through time and picked one here, and let's get this guy over here. And awe-inspiring. They jump out at me, these scriptures do. We have been called, and we are preparing to bring about the greatest thing that has ever happened to the world. Can't emphasize that enough. It will be the greatest thing. And we're going to be a part of it. You always want to be a part of something great. Become a great actress, become a great athlete, a great this or a great that. Forget all that. Not going to happen. I want to be a part of something incredibly great, inspired by and led by the power of Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's what they're offering. That's what the God family is offering to you and to me. Not just a comfortable chair to sit in. We're going to help. We're going to sustain. We're going to teach. We're going to preach. We're going to educate. We cannot have a greater calling than that. You can't. There's nothing greater than that. If there was, you'd be hearing about it from somebody. Nothing greater than that. Don't you get inspired by going through those scriptures, brethren? By going thinking about this? I do. This kind of ignites that flame in us. We want to move forward. I want to be a part of it. And I hope you feel the same way. That's why you're here at this festival, not out in the sunshine, out golfing or shopping. You want to learn. You want to be a part of it. And it's wonderful we can be here together to do that and to share that vision. Verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning to joy. I will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with goodness, says the Lord. We are going to be the priests at that time, brethren, filled with the riches and goodness of God. Isn't that something? Everything we're reading here is inspiring. It's encouraging. It's exciting. We're going to be a part of something. The greatest event that will ever occur in the history of mankind. Now that is something. That's why, brethren, we need to learn how to rule now. You may say, well, what do you mean, new rule now? What do I have to rule in my life? I don't have a dozen kids, I don't have this, I don't have that. You need to rule in your life right now, brethren. Your family. You know how to rule your family? You know how to rule your children? You know how to rule yourself. Your thinking. Your actions. That's all part of preparing, and that's very personal. Maybe you don't have a family to be concerned about. Maybe you don't have children to have to be involved in their lives, to educate them. But you've got your life to live. You've got your thinking to change. You've got your actions to get in line. It's very personal. Always take it that way. It's personal. What can I do? How can I change? How can I get better? How can I be better qualified? Verse 16. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord. Hope that your children shall come back to their own border. Hope. That's what people are going to need, tremendous hope. There is something beyond the devastation. We're going to teach them, guide them, show them, help them. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to put our arms around your shoulder. We're going to bring you forward and show you how it's going to be done. We're here to sustain you and to love you and to care for you and to show you who's in charge. Hope sustains us right now, doesn't it? We've been living the way of God now, not perfectly for sure, but for about 45, 46 years. Some, obviously, more, which I have great respect for as well. But you know what? Over those years, it takes lots of encouragement and help from the living God to maintain and to hang on to that hope. We can get discouraged. Difficult things occur. Health situations, job situations, family situations, that can go on and on and on. They have affected us all. We can put that behind us. As we know now, in 2017 at the Feast of Tabernacles, we're looking forward, not backward. We're going to charge ahead. It's great hope that lies ahead for us. Be great hope for those that will come up in the resurrection, not in the resurrection, but and in the tribulation, after the tribulation, that we're going to be working with. They will start to develop real hope. Finally, there's going to be this hope, and they can hang on to bit and glimpses of it as we help them. We'll encourage them. No more wars, no more killing, no more lying, no more stealing, no more drugs, no more corrupt governments. Now we will only have a righteous government. Yes, people, that's a righteous government that we're all working toward, that we're a part of. That's going to be something to see, the change in people's attitude, the smiles on their face. Glimpses of hope, and is this for real? Can we really believe what he's telling me? They'll believe as we maintain the discipline we have to have and show them where the answers are and lead them to God. That's powerful stuff. It really is. Verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastised me, and I was chastened like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the help, my Lord. You're my help. That's what people are going to say. And we will be there, and they will see us. Verse 19, surely, after my turning, I repented. And after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Brethren, what a fantastic, incredible repentance we're going to see. That's what he's talking about here. They're going to say, oh no, what a mess I've made. How foolish was my thinking? I've upset everything and everybody in my life. And they'll fall down in repentance. And we're going to see that, and we're going to help them, and they're going to see us. Can you imagine the people that gave us such a rough time over the years? And there they are in front of us, bowing down, not understanding at all, and we're going to lead them and show them and help them. The people that made life so difficult for us on occasions, we've all had that happen. That's okay. You know, we'll be there to help them. That's going to be a wonderful, incredible, fantastic thing that God will allow us to be a part of. It's the helping and the teaching and the educating. That's what I'm looking forward to. I want to be a part of that. Verse 20. Ephraim, my son, my dear son, is like a pleasant child. For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the eternal God. Brethren, that is an incredible statement. You know what it shows me? It shows me and tells me and should show and tell you God is involved with his emotions. God has emotions. You think he doesn't? Oh, he does. You have emotions. I have emotions. Perhaps not always channeled in the right direction. But with God the Father and Jesus Christ, they're always channeled in the right directions. And God says, I yearn for you. I mentioned that the other day. Let's say you've lost a child. I yearn to hold my baby again. I yearn to see my family. And the heart is breaking. You can just, we've seen that, the eyes and the tears and in the voice of people who've lost like that. You yearn. And that's the kind of emotion God has for his heritage, for Israel and for Judah. I yearn for them. He never wanted us to stray. He never wanted our forefathers to stray. He doesn't want us to stray. He's yearning to invite you into his family. They're just waiting for us. That's powerful. God's involved with his emotions and his love. That's fantastic. It really is. What a God we serve. Those are not the words of a harsh God, as many people claim that he is. That is a God of love, a God of concern, a God of compassion and caring. You can see it jumps out at you. He yearns. I love that verse. I really do. Verse 21. Set up signposts. Make landmarks. Set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Then turn back, O Virgin of Israel. Turn back to these your cities. How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. Look at the concern and the compassion and love of our great God. Wow. Don't you wish you had that kind of love and compassion and caring and concern for people all the time? Not just when maybe we might feel like it, but all the time. That would be nice. Brethren, we are so fortunate to know what we know. And not just to know what we know, to understand what we have been taught and what we're learning and what we're, as we're growing here. You understand it. You picture yourself there in the family of God doing all of these things, helping and teaching and bringing these people along as they're repenting. I'm so sorry what I did and what happened. Help me. Show me the right way. We're going to embrace them with our love and our concern, our compassion, and bring them to God. No greater calling, no greater responsibility could ever be imagined than that. That God is offering to you in his kingdom. All he says is, please get yourself ready. Verse 23. Did I read that already? No, I didn't. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and in his cities when I bring back their captivity. The Lord is bless you, O home of justice and mountain of holiness. Even though the world is overridden with wickedness, overrun with wickedness and sin, every desire will be fulfilled at some point. Every desire that a man or woman could have will be fulfilled at one point down the road. What do people in general really want in life or out of life? New cars, big yacht, $1 billion? Nah, not really. They want love. They want joy. They want peace. They want prosperity. And for everything to go well. Right? Those are the basic things that we all yearn for and strive for. They want prosperity and for everything to work out. That's okay. God is not against prosperity, as long as the motivations are right. But the wicked, brethren, at some point will have to be removed before there can be those things. Those who have sinned need to repent. That's how it's going to be, or they're not going to be there. Simple as that. You're not going to get a reduced sentence and we'll have another hearing next year like we do it on the courts here. That ain't going to happen. Back in Toronto recently, there was a murderer, clear and without question, murdered. I forget who it was he murdered, someone in the family. The court delayed the case. I guess through the justice system and with the lawyers, delaying it. They finally, the judge threw the thing out. They threw it out. It's been too long. We have not brought justice in the last 2 or 3 years, therefore, next case, what? He walks free? Killing somebody in cold blood? That happened. It is amazing. The justice system, so-called, could put all kinds of roadblocks in the way of real justice. It's never properly served. What a shame, what a disgrace it is, really. But what a fantastic picture God had just painted for us to get excited about. What's going to take place? To urge us onward, brethren, to urge us onward. And to get ready for the job that lies ahead. I know we keep saying that. I'm sorry if you get tired of hearing it. But that's the way it has to be. We've got to get ready. Not everybody is thinking that way completely, are they? Are all the churches of God thinking that way? No. Are all the churches of God being taught this way? And what to prepare for? I don't know. From the ones that I know, they are not. And that's unfortunate. Because going to the feast in the sunshine for a vacation and spend your second tithe and go to services every day, that's not getting yourself ready. Nice to do that. Not knocking it. Fine. If you can manage it, go ahead. But there's so much more to it. There's so much more beyond that in terms of the spiritual realm. And what God expects. What He wants. And what He demands. That we be, and we have to make ourselves ready and be qualified. Jesus Christ had to qualify. You think we don't have to? Well, you know we do. This great festival that we're keeping is designed to keep us in remembrance of what is to come. That's why we are here. We ask that question on the opening night. Why are we here? That's why we're here. We're not out golfing, out shopping. Let's rush to the beach right after services and have some fun. Okay, that's fine. But do you know why you're at the feast? What's your plan and purpose? What's the ultimate goal? What are you keeping it for? Why do you do it? Are you going through the motions? Far too many people are doing that. You think I don't know that? I understand, because I know a lot of people, brethren, in different groups. I got minister friends in different groups. I have coffee with one man in particular quite a bit, quite often. The man that was in Italy with Elenita. Terrific guy. But he's lost something over the years because he got so disillusioned by how he was treated that he blames everybody for his situation in some respects and will not tolerate one man's situation. He said, we got to have a multi-rule. We got to have places where I can echo my voice. I said, nothing wrong with echoing your voice. I echo mine. We're allowed to do that. I said, but you're missing the point of what was being taught by Mr. Armstrong. He dismisses that. He said, why don't you join us? I said, I just told you why I can't be with you. Because you've lost focus. I said, if your people heard me speak, they'd throw me out. And I can't be a part of that. I want to stay true to what we were given. And only one man gave it to us through Jesus Christ, Mr. Armstrong. He said, then you'd never fit in here. I said, right, that's why I'm not there. No problem. But we're still friends. I still respect. We still care for them. And we should. We don't pull our horns in because we're here and everybody else is out there. No, that's nonsense. That's not God's way. We know where we are and we know why we stand. We know what we're learning and we know what the future holds. We're striving for that, to move forward. Verse 24, and there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities together farmers with those going out with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul. I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And there will be plenty of those. Plenty of those. God is going to heal them. Spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And that, brethren, I declare, is a lot of healing to be done. Tremendous amount of healing to be done. You know, I remember I mentioned the other night, I guess I did, that quite a number of people still are very uncertain and very wary of groups and don't trust ministers. I've had it said to me, look him in the eye and tell him, fine. I said, no, I understand. But you're losing hope of the future based upon what we were taught by Mr. Armstrong. And you're falling away from the spiritual heritage you were given. You were given it and so was I. That's what you're missing. Because that's where the hope is. That's what will carry you through. You don't have to trust me. Trust what we read from the scriptures and trust what we're following is right and true. There's not much they can say about that or against that. Be wary if you want. Understand that. Certainly be wary of things on the outside that are contrary to sound doctrine. As we've said before. I've got one situation with one family, or two families actually, back home, who were in another organization. They've gotten swept up in some so-called new understanding, you know. And I said, let me see the information. I'd like to see it. I'm not going to denounce it. I don't know what it is. Read it over. I said, sorry. Very quick reply back. Sorry, but this is nonsense. I didn't put it quite like that. I tempered it a little bit. And I said, Mr. Armstrong addressed this back in 1959. Now you're telling me you're going to believe this guy in 2017? And the apostle back then that God was working with? Sorry. I know where I'm going. That was the end of the story. Two more talk about it. I think they're still probably going to carry on. Fine. It's up to you. But we've got to stay rooted continually. We can't stray in any way, shape, or fashion. I think one of the first things that's going to happen, brethren, is we're going to be able to heal people. We're going to want to heal people. We're going to need to heal people. God will deal with the emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects of it, and we'll help him do that as well. But we're going to have a part in healing. I really believe that we're going to. People will have been in captivity. Perhaps in dungeons locked away for years, whatever. So the blind, you know, the blind are going to be able to see. I don't know what it's like to be with having your sight distorted by what I went through a few weeks ago. Boy, it's tough. Imagine being completely blind. We're going to be able to restore their sight. Then they can see. Wow. Look it. And the deaf are going to hear. They're going to hear us speak to them. Teach them, educate them. How about restoring limbs? Why not? Yes. Arms lost, legs lost, all the different things that have happened. Restore them. Christ did it. I believe we're going to do that. Yes, we are. As part of the opportunities that lie ahead for us. Can you imagine restoring someone's limbs? The tears would flow from them and from us. Wow. Exciting. That's called really in the trenches work that we're going to do. Not sitting back in the stands. Oh yeah, go team. No. We're right there. We are going to be given so many fantastic and wonderful things to do to help people, brethren. Teach them to bring them to repentance and bring them to God. That's the ultimate goal, obviously. Verse 26. Where is verse 26? Here it is. After this, I awoke and I looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah and the seed of man and the seed of beasts. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck them up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. The very mission of Jeremiah, brethren, the very mission of Jeremiah. He will probably be chief in carrying out his commission. I can imagine that. To tear down, destroy, and then to build up. Think about that. What a joy to Jeremiah that's going to be, right? When his whole ministry was sort of doom and gloom and captivity and punishment. Then he's going to be able to restore and to build. Wow. You know, Jeremiah, when he would look up and he would see people sinning, and see all that was going around him, he would say, "Oh, that my eyes were rivers of water, that I might cry for my people." The resurrected Jeremiah will probably be given the job so he could build and plant and raise up. Won't that be something for him? Wow. Verse 29. "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." Verse 30. "But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Notice verse 33. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Here is conversion. Wow. Here is conversion. What a wonderful thing that's going to be done. And brethren, we are going to be the ones to help carry it out. Let that just impress on your mind, because here's the thing. God is the one who's going to give his spirit. God is the one who gives the laws and commandments, right? We are the ones that are going to teach them. We are the ones that are going to help them. We are the ones that will look after the flock of God. You're going to be a shepherd looking after the flock of God. To teach and to help and educate, and after what we've just gone through, you can see there's going to be a lot to be done, a lot of need, and to heal, and to sustain, and always to point them toward God. After all they've been through, they'll think there's no such thing as a God. Well, we're going to show them that there is, and they're going to learn that. There'll be no deviations. They'll be given opportunities. They'll be given the Sabbath day and the holy days, and they'll learn. If they rebel and don't want to learn, we'll deal with that too. But we don't look forward to even thinking about that, but it's going to happen with some. Christ asked Peter in the Gospel of John, which we're not going to turn there, but Peter, he said, "Do you love me?" He asked him three times, and each time he said, "Feed my sheep, shepherd my lambs, shepherd my sheep, take care of them, watch over them." Well, that is what we will be doing with God's future flock. That's what we're going to be doing. Does that not get you excited a little bit, brethren? Does that not get you saying, "Man, I want to be a part of that. I really do." You can be. You have the Spirit of God to understand it. Verse 34. "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Wow. God is going to bring to all of Israel, to all of Judah, and all the nations of the world, you know, that kind of understanding, that patience, that love, that respect, that promise. Here's the promise that it will be done. All the way down from beginning of time, all the way down to where we are today, and then all into the millennium. God promises. Until the time that it's going to be fulfilled. It's still in vogue, isn't it? It's still there. There's the promise. It's still there. Then it will get fulfilled. That is what we are remembering at this festival. And it's exciting to think about. 35, verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Interesting. The 10 tribes of Israel have never been lost or absorbed into the nations, have they? As some have claimed that we have been. God has such incredible patience and compassion and mercy and long-suffering toward us, doesn't he? You know that in your own life, how much he has. He's also going to extend that to the remnant that come along during the millennium, and to those multitudes that will be resurrected thereafter. The same things will apply. Thinking of verse 35 and verse 36, have the ordinances of God disappeared? Where's the sun and moon, folks? It's still there. Still there. We still have the sun, the moon, the stars. That is the greatness of God's plan, because rough roads lie ahead for mankind and for us as well. Don't ever think they don't. The way we get through it is to have real understanding and the vision that God wants us to have. And those verses should give us vision and give us hope for the future. And especially the part we're going to play, and as they come through, as they're resurrected, and as they come through the tribulation into the world tomorrow, into the millennium, all the devastation and what we're going to be. We look at it and say, oh man. No, we're going to say, wow, let's get going. We got a job to do. We got shattered lives to rebuild. We got limbs to restore, eyesight to restore. We're going to encourage people and teach them and show them, bring them to God. Yes, folks, there's a real God. And that's going to be something that just should make our hearts swell with the anticipation. Because it's real. Far too much in this society and in this world is not real. At all. But that is. Proverbs says that where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to see clearly and understand that God has selected and called us and is training us now for the very purpose of carrying out the kingdom of God on earth, to heal the earth, heal Israel, heal Judah, heal all the nations, and bring everything to perfection. Isn't that something? Everything to perfection. Yes, healing, because everything will have been broken and destroyed. Not just a few things, everything. Like we said about the islands in the Caribbean and places in Texas destroyed by the hurricane. Everything gone. My sister lives in Houston. Many of her friends who were in the devastated areas went back to their homes a couple of days after they were able to get back. They couldn't even drive down the street. There was 4 and 5 feet of water. 5 feet of water? And then the homes, when they finally got in, there's still 2 or 3 feet there. Everything destroyed. 90-degree heat with all that moisture. Mold just took over. They got to tear those places down. They're no good. Lost everything. And there are also many of the older folks that they know are losing hope. Having to go into an old folks home. Left, all the memories are back there. Their life was back there. It's gone. That's heartbreaking. That is nothing by comparison to what's going to occur. Brethren, we have to let that burn into our hearts and minds and emotions and know that this is the desire we need to have for eternal life and being kings and priests in the family of God. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? What needs to be done? And so therefore, understanding and knowing that and seeing it, I want to be a part of that restoration. So that's got to burn into our hearts and minds, and that's got to move us forward with power, with inspiration. Really trying, really working at it. Verse 37. Thus says the, verse 37. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the city shall be built for the Lord from the tower of Hanel to the corner gate. The surveyor's line shall again extend straight toward over the hill of Gerab, and it shall return toward Goath. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields as far as the brook of Kidron to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down any more forever. God is going to clean everything up. And we're going to help him. We're going to be there to help him restore that. And he wants us prepared to be prepared to take part. Now we need to learn more of his way, don't we? Much more. We need more of his spirit. Don't you need more of God's spirit? Don't you want more of God's spirit? We need to learn wisdom and understanding. I want lots of wisdom and understanding. I pray for it every day because I need it. Living by myself, zero. Well, the average things of living the human life, you have wisdom and understanding, but not the spiritual dimension that we need to have, that I want to have as well. We need the righteousness of God, and we need the faith of Jesus Christ, don't we? That's what I'm praying for. That's what I want to have. I'll pray that for you as well. I want the flock to have that in the world tomorrow. We're going to help them. We're going to show them. We will have been through a lot in our physical lives, and then as we move into the realm of the family of God, we have a tremendous amount of understanding and experience to bring with us. All of our individual experiences over the years are preparing us for what's to come. Can't see it now. Sometimes all we see is just the pain or the emotions or the suffering. And it'll all be put to the right purpose down the road to help and teach. I know we hear that word a lot, but it's so important. So Mr. Armstrong said way back in the beginning, how many people in the other churches are being taught that they're going to be teachers in the world tomorrow? I can tell you right now, not many. And really taught it. Go through it. Search the scriptures and bring it forward and say, this is what you're going to be doing. If you qualify. If you hang in there. If you grow. If you change. If you overcome. Become like Jesus Christ. He wants us prepared to take part. And to make ourselves ready. You know, being called into the church of God and having the Spirit of God in these end times is marvelous beyond compare because of what it pictures. Not called into deprivation and into problems, into having to do this and having to do that. No, I don't look at it like that. I don't have to keep the Sabbath. I don't have to be here. I want to be here. God commands it. So we're here. Delighted to be here with all of you. That's why we're here, brethren, to get the focus, to get the picture, to get the understanding. Let's look now for a few more minutes here at Ezekiel and see how God expressed it to him. And you know, keep in mind that Ezekiel had a much more difficult or hard, if you want to call it that way, a ministry than Jeremiah. Ah, you don't think so. Well, you read the first 8 or 10 chapters of Ezekiel, and you ask yourself, would I want to go through that? Huh? Will you read it for yourself if you haven't? Ask yourself, would I want to go through that? Well, you know what? Ezekiel did. He did go through it. And God saw him through it. He had a very rough time. Ezekiel 36, verse 8. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. That's how it's going to be during the millennium, like a tree growing. Verse 9. For indeed I am for you, and I will return to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I like the way he puts that. Behold, I am for you. I'm for you. Even after all what's taken place, God says, I'm there, I'm for you. I yearn for you, I'm for you, I'm with you. Think of what God is saying to them through all the trials, all the suffering, all the difficulties, all the pain, all the death. God says, I'm for you. I'm for you. Take that to yourself. As I said, make it personal. You know, God is for you. He's for me. He's for all of us. God is not against us. Okay, so you're not perfect. Doesn't matter. I'm far from perfect. I know God is for me. I know He's for you. God's not against any one of us. He's with us. We have access, direct access to God the Father in heaven, the sovereign of the universe. That's what we have access to. And the help and the mediation of Jesus Christ that sits at His right hand. There's nothing more powerful than that. Let's look at verse 10. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the city shall be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply you upon you, man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better than you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Then you'll know. Then you'll understand. You know, all through the book of Ezekiel, everything is punctuated at the end by, you shall know that I am the Lord. You go through that, you'll see if you haven't noticed it already. You'll know that I am the Lord. You know, brethren, someday they're going to understand that. We know, don't we? We understand that. Someday they'll understand it. Verse 12, yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall take possessions of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations anymore, nor bear the reproach of the peoples anymore, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble anymore, says the Lord God. No, these are tremendous prophecies, brethren. They really are. Let's understand the greatness of God, who has called us and given us the opportunity, given us the potential that lies out ahead of us. He's given us His Spirit. He's giving us the opportunity. And there's nothing like it. There'll be nothing to ever replace what we're being given. What an opportunity we have. Wow. It is really unbelievable when you think about it. Let's go to verse 22. Therefore, says the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you were sent. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I have hallowed you before their eyes. It's going to start with Israel when the millennium begins. Then those nations that come to Jerusalem to learn of God, as we know. Verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep them, and you will keep my judgments to do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Brethren, there's never going to be a time like there's going to be when we come back with Jesus Christ as the resurrected saints to assist in straightening out this world. There will never be a time like it. It will be the greatest gathering, the greatest rebuilding process ever in the absolute history of mankind, without a doubt. What promises God has made. Incredible promises. And yes, you are going to be involved in the activity. You're going to be there, actively involved. I say actively because there's work to be done, as I said at the beginning. Much work. And we'll be ready for it. We'll have the Spirit of God magnified and personified with abilities that we don't have right now. But as we grow and prepare and change and get ourselves ready, and God will magnify those. He'll accept that desire we have, and we know that He can take us from there and put us into His family and give us what we're missing. There are so many prophecies we could look at. We'll just look at a few here. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Then it talks about what's going to happen to get to that point. But notice verse 15. Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Isn't that encouraging? Exciting? Think about, as I said, this might be the only time of the year that we really analyze some of these tremendous prophecies and put them all together. We are picturing what we are going to be doing. We won't be thinking about it. We're thinking about it now, but we're going to be doing it someday. You've got to put yourself into the future. Let that burn into your heart and mind. It's real. Verse 20 of chapter 33, Isaiah 33, verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of your appointed feasts. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be taken down. Not one of its stakes will ever be removed, nor will any of its cords be broken. But there the majestic Lord will be for us. A place of broad rivers and streams in which no galley with oars will sail, no majestic ships pass by. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is king. He will save us. That will be us, brethren. Teaching, training, ruling, serving. Teaching people to know God for the very first time. No matter how religious they might have been in their physical life, we'll show them who God is for the first time, the real God. And you know, brethren, helping God bring people into the kingdom of God, and it's incredible. The millennium is a major step in bringing so many along into the kingdom of God. But remember, there's a whole universe out there. There'll be so much to be done after the millennium when billions are resurrected. Wow. It just boggles the human mind to understand this. And you can't understand it without the Holy Spirit. You can't understand it and put yourself in that picture unless you know, unless you've been converted, unless you've got the Spirit of God. Unless you understand why we're here. What this festival pictures, just what we've been talking about. Awesome knowledge we got. Awesome knowledge. We are so blessed. Isaiah chapter 45. Let's notice verse 17. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of it, Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge who carry wood in their of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Salvation is going to be open to the entire world at some point. Verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. Everybody will learn. Everyone will get in line. We'll help them. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who have incensed against me. In the Lord, all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. God is going to undo all the works of Satan. That's a lot of works to undo, isn't it? That's a lot. He's going to undo them all. Cast them away. Enter the family of God. Enter the saints of God. To help restore and teach and educate. It blows my mind. I know what's going to happen. I believe it. That's why we're here. Rehearsing, understanding it. Getting the picture straight and focused. Through God's Holy Spirit. Being fired up. To get ourselves ready. Isaiah chapter 32. No, let's go to Isaiah chapter 60 instead. Isaiah chapter 60. And verse 18, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor the brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will give you an everlasting light and your God your glory. Isaiah chapter 61 here tells us about our work. Remember, brethren, all the word of God is going to be fulfilled. All of it. All the blessings. All the promises. And all the curses and all the promises of curses for disobedience. Isaiah 61, notice verse 6. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. Brethren, truly, we are going to be kings and priests. Kings and priests, and rulers and judges and teachers. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Verse 11, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Wow. All the nations. You know, Christ said that I am the light of the world. But think about how much more that is going to be magnified when he comes as King of Kings. And Lord of Lords. And he's going to bring us with him. The saints having been prepared. Having made themselves ready. Having the picture of the restoration of this world clearly in focus in mind. Understanding what we're going to do and realizing right now how insignificant we are. We don't have the power and the strength. But we're going to have it. We need the desire now. Let that burn into our hearts and minds, asking God for the help and for the ability to see and to really understand and what it means to get ready, what it means to strive, what it means to work against the things that we struggle with. Put aside those things. What glory lies ahead for a restored world when Christ rules? And we will be there serving with Christ. With so many people to deal with, there's going to be a lot of work to do, brethren. A lot of work to do. To bring righteousness and goodness and truth and love. There's so much. And of course, you can read Isaiah chapter 11, and it tells us what the results will be. Let's quickly look at a few of the verses. You know these well. These have been spoken of already. But it's good to be reminded. That's what they're here for. Verse 1, Isaiah 11. Then there shall go forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall judge, shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Those things we need, brethren, just talking about here, wisdom, understanding, strength, discernment. It's going to be a completely different world than we can understand now. Totally different, completely changed. Verse 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. In verse 6, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. Formerly, that would be his dinner. That would have been his dinner. And we know the rest of them. The leopard with the young calf and the young lion together. Hard to imagine, isn't it? It's going to happen. We're going to see it. We're going to be a part of it. They're not going to hurt and destroy in my holy mountain anymore, God says. The rule and reign of Christ and the saints will guarantee it. Notice that? The rule of Christ and the saints with him. Because we're going to have a job to do. Brethren, what a fantastic time this is going to be. You know, as I said, this is going to be a thousand years of the greatest, most wonderful things to ever happen to mankind. Think about that. The most wonderful things that could ever happen to mankind. I want wonderful things for people, don't you? I want wonderful things for you. I want wonderful things for my family. I want wonderful things for those who will be brought along in the world tomorrow. And we're going to be there to help them and teach them. We'll be a part of the very God family. Greatest calling that could ever have been given to anybody. We've been given that call. We haven't fulfilled that calling yet, but we're going to. We're working toward it right now. This is going to be a thousand years of the greatest, most wonderful things to ever happen to mankind. That's got to get you excited, because you're going to be a part of it. We've been called to and have a part in that, brethren. Nothing could be greater than that. If there's something greater than that, please let me know what it is. But there isn't. That's why we are here. Celebrating this Feast of Tabernacles, looking into the future and preparing ourselves to participate in that glorious event that lies ahead. Let's be about making ourselves ready.